We know accidents and injuries don't stop. Neither do we. That's why Ochsner Hospital for Children's Pediatric ER is open 24/7 with short wait times. Visit ochsner.org/forchildren to learn more.
Nola Papa is proudly sponsored by Rouse's Markets. You'll love us for more than just the low prices. Make shopping easy with pickup and delivery. Everyday low prices, unbeatable quality, family-owned delivery and pickup options. We buy local services, catering, and bakery. And that Gentilly Berry Cake in that case is so fine. Oh, y'all, you know the Gentilly Berry Cake. Oh, find it at Rouse's Markets. Be sure to pick up our new book, The Adventures of Addie Underwater. Every family is built with love. You can find it all over New Orleans, including the Audubon Zoo and the Audubon Aquarium of the Americas. You can find it online, Amazon, and others. For the full list, check it out at nolapapa.com and nolapapa.store. Ooh, come on now. Hey now. Kids Dream is a family-run, women, and LGBTQ-owned dress company located in Los Angeles, California. They have a dress for your little girl for every special occasion, and they're made in Los Angeles. Dress sizes run from baby 3 months to 24 months up to girls plus 20 and a half. And our Nola Papa community gets a special discount, 20% off, y'all. 20%. You shop at kidsdreamus.com and use code NOLAPAPA20. It's 20% off at ya. Purchase. How about that? It's kidsdreamus.com. Looking to travel without the hassle of planning? Contact Sandpiper Vacations for all of your vacation needs. Sandpiper Vacations is a concierge-style travel agency specializing in Disney, cruising, all-inclusive resorts, and so much more. Visit them at sandpipervacations.com to find a travel advisor that works for you and request a free quote today. Travel made magical. The agency is LGBTQ owned and operated with advisors around the country. That's sandpipervacations.com. Contact them today. Life is so much more than just a blog. It's also unafraid, unique, and unscripted. A Nola Papa podcast. So Ochsner Hospital for Children has some of the most passionate healthcare workers I've ever seen. Now, granted, I am a doofus from Mississippi, but I'm able to see these people like firsthand, and I love when people are passionate about what they do. And with Ochsner, we have a dear friend of the show and of Papa's, Dr. Jake Climahan. From Ochsner Hospital for Children. Dr. Jake, thank you for coming back to Dr. Jake's Take.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here in a new year.
A new year, trying to better ourselves for our families, you know, and the world that we live in, the chaos. Control chaos, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some days it's controlled, some days it's not.
You're right. I love this segment because this is kind of like if you were to put your fingers on a pulse. And, you know, people are concerned about, you know, things with their children or what have you. And they're able to write in to us. To me, I don't know if they're able to do that to you because of the clauses and stuff, you know, but to me, and I feel like that we can help give back in some way, you know?
Yeah, this is real things that we talk about that every family parent deals with. And I think it's a great way to open up a conversation about topics that people are interested in.
Absolutely. And some topics are unfamiliar. And, you know, with all those passionate people that, you know, have their fingers on the pulse, we're lucky enough to have Dr. Jake Climahan, and he is the pediatric cardiologist from Ochsner Hospital for Children. And
Absolutely.
I know just how big your brain is, and to know that you are able to give us insight and kind of calm our nerves, because you know Papa lives in fear, you know. I love to have not only someone that's so knowledgeable, but a friend.
Yeah, it's important to have people in your life that you trust and you can lean on, whether it's a doctor or any other friend in your life. So it always brings me joy to come on here and chat with you and discuss topics that people are interested in.
I love it because I know that, you know, parenthood in general, there's so many things that you know can happen out of nowhere, you know. Or you know, it's like something that you saw coming. You know, parenthood is just like a mixed bag of all these un things you just don't know what is going to happen. And what's neat is I put out a flare, you know, to our audience, and I ask them, is there anything that is, you know, troubling you and your family about your the health of your children or whatnot? And if there are anything, then they're able to write back to me and talk, you know, personally about what's going on. And I love that personal aspect to it. You know, in our day-to-day life, it's easy to lose the I don't know, when there are people that want to take time and listen to someone, their problems. I think it's really it shows the compassion and what we all need, and especially in a physician. So Dr. Jake, I'm so happy to have you with Dr. Jake's Take. And I got this message, and I tell you, and it seems basic, but it's really not basic because there's so many out there. So cold medicines, doctor. All right, we're getting into, you know, the winter times. We're about to hit the parades. You know, because I mean, you know, Tommy Susie has a cold, but suck it up, Buttercup. We're going to the parades, you know. So, you know, I'm dyslexic and all the stuff. So, like cold medicines, when you're looking at it on the shelf, like it all kind of merges into like one, and it's like, oh. So, as a doctor, as a very acclaimed, successful doctor, Dr. Jake, what do you think cold medicines for our littles that should look like?
That's a great question. It's something that pediatricians get asked all the time because, as parents, our kids aren't feeling well. They look kind of puny and they may have a fever, and we want to make them feel better. So, what are the things that we can do to support them? And I think there are some very important pieces of information that I want to talk about first to make sure that we're keeping our kids safe. So a couple of things that are really important is the use of honey. So the use of honey is a great type of medicine, should you call it, for cough, but it should not be given to children less than 1 year of age because of the risk of botulism. So we will talk about the honey, but I want to make it clear that this should not be given to kids less than 1 year of age. The other medication common medication out there is aspirin. Aspirin also should not be given to children.
What
There
about
is a
baby
syndrome.
aspirin?
So, baby aspirin is okay, but it really doesn't do what you need it to do if you're trying to treat a fever or a cold or something like that. So when we talk about aspirin, we're talking about high dose aspirin, so more than a baby aspirin. And the reason for that is there's something called Reye syndrome, that kids can go into liver failure from taking aspirin. So we want to make sure that our products that we're giving to our kids don't contain aspirin, under the age of one, no honey. And then it's also important to know the recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Under the age of four, cold medicines are not recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. From the ages of 4 to 6, it should be under consultation with a physician. And over the age of 6, I think there are still considerations to be made when choosing a cold medication. Any decision that you make in regards to healthcare should really be made with your physician. And the information that we're going to talk about today is general information, but you want to make sure that it's not going to have any interactions with any other medications you're on or make any other pre-existing conditions worse.
I love that. I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off. So this is kind of like a preliminary interview and you're listening to it. And then if it like perks your ears up, don't be like, oh, let me go do this for my babies. This is like the first conversation and that you're hearing. And then if you like what you hear, then you call Ochsner Pediatric Hospital, and then they will get you set up with your physician and then know what, avenue is best for you, right?
Yes, and it's part of the reason why I wanted to kind of start with this because people may fall asleep listening to me for too long. So I wanted to make sure that we have kind of the basic safety things in line before going into specifics.
Absolutely.
So we get to the drugstore and we look at that big wall of medications, and they're different colors, different shapes, different sizes, and they all kind of say they do the same thing, but what's different about one versus another? And the things that we want to look at are what are the ingredients in the medication? And if we're talking about treating things like a fever, the main medications, types of medications we're going to be looking at is acetaminophen, and ibuprofen, or naproxen. So common brand names for acetaminophen would be Tylenol. Common brand names for ibuprofen would be Motrin or Advil. And then naproxen, common brand name would be Aleve. And that's super important because you want to make sure that you're not giving one medication that does the same thing as your partner who comes home an hour later. So what I recommend with any type of medication is that if possible, you, if you're going to buy a brand name, stick with that same brand name because your partner may not realize, just as my husband didn't, that Motrin and ibuprofen and Advil are all the same thing. So we want to make sure we're not overdosing our kids by having different brands in the house that are confusing.
That's a really good point. Daggummit. I'm doing it all wrong.
The other option is buying generic, because generic just says it just says acetaminophen, or it just says the ingredient. So as long as you know what ingredient is, that's the most important thing. So we're not overdosing our kids. Important thing to know about medications like Advil, ibuprofen, Aleve, naproxen. Those medications should not be given to kids who are younger than 6 months of age, or have decreased urine, not peeing well, or kidney disease. So if there's any medical problems that your child has, you really want to make sure that you have a good sense of what your pediatrician thinks are medications that are safe for your child.
Sure. I don't want to sound like a tree hugger here, but I know when our babies first came out, and it's funny, I do sound like a hippie, but I didn't
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, right. You know, I didn't want to introduce, and anyone out there that wants to, it's a free country. But I personally didn't want to do that. So I know that there are other things that you can do. You know, honey, you can't do until after they're one. But, like, there's elderberry or something other. Okay. So with the natural route, what would you say would kind of be like, you know, equivalent?
Yeah. And actually a lot of the natural treatments that we do are just as effective or more effective than the traditional medications. So for example, honey, there's been a lot of studies on honey and reducing the incidence of cough.
Dadgummit, my baby's coughing right now, Dr. Jake. So hold on. So let's go this real quick. So honey, I'm going to get some like lukewarm, kind of maybe a little hot warm water, add some honey, mix it up, and let her drink it?
Yep, or you could just give her a teaspoon of straight honey.
A spoonful of honey? Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's been studies that show that honey is safer and works just as effectively or more effectively than common cough medications such as dextromethorphan, cold medicines such as phenylephrine. And the one, when we talk about these types of medications, the one kind of brand that comes up recently is Zarbee's. The interesting thing about Zarbee's is that the active ingredient in most of the Zarbee products is honey. So you don't need to spend a whole lot of money on drugstore products.
What are you calling it? Zarbee's?
Yes.
What is that?
They're more natural products.
Oh.
So elderberry, honey, other types of kind of more natural things that are marketed. There's less data on the efficacy of the other things they put in it. For example, elderberry is a big topic of discussion. There's really no convincing data one way or another if it works or doesn't work. There's some concern during COVID. We're still in COVID, but at the beginning of COVID, whether it actually causes more inflammation in the body. More recent research has shown that that's not the case. But we do want to try to put things in our kids' bodies that are actually helpful and not be putting things in the body that could potentially harm them.
Sure. So another thing that we would use back when our first was itty bitty, she was a preemie, and she had colic, something bad. It was a bad bout of colic, Dr. Jake. And there's different kind of things that you can get to, you know, counteract that colic. And same way with cough medicine, it sounds like there's like the medical way, and then there's the, you know, organic, natural, whatever way. And, you know, both worked. I like that when they, that little, I like natural, you know, because I just, in my head, I feel like natural is the best, but that's my own opinion. When it comes to colic and itty bitty babies, Okay. What is there, like, natural better, not natural? What do you think?
I think colic is a very difficult thing to deal with. And I don't think there's a uniform answer that this works or this works.
Sure.
Some people use simethicone drops. Some people use gripe water.
Gripe water, that's what it was. Yeah.
Some people, like we did, they put their kid in the car and drive around for a half hour until they fall asleep and then put a running vacuum underneath their crib. No joke. We actually did this. Colic is a very difficult thing because it presents in many different ways, and children respond differently to it. So I've kind of put colic in a different category
than cold, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But certainly a interesting topic.
I know that when presented with the question of, oh my God, what do we get for this itty bitty baby? It was the first decision we had to make when it came to, like, she was literally, could have been just a month and a half old. And, you know, we had to rush to Walgreens or whatever. And of course our pediatrician is in on the conversation, but it was, you know, a very, it wasn't like tense, but anytime like you're trying to figure out what's going to fix your hurting baby, it's not that they're just crying and like, oh my God, let them stop crying. It's like the pain that's coming from their little eyes, and you want to make it stop, but you want to make it stop in a healthy way, you know? So that's why I love talking to you.
So yeah, we want to make our kids feel better. So what are kind of other non-pharmaceutical strategies we can use? Saline washes for the nose. So that keeps the nose moist. You can use it with a bulb suction and to help clear mucus. So that's one strategy. Humidifiers. This is something we had to worry a lot more about when I was in Colorado, because the air was so dry. I think you could stick your kid outside here and have enough humidity. But joking aside, humidifiers can be helpful as well at relieving symptoms. The other thing I want to point out is that our body responds to things sometimes for a purpose. So, for example, cough. Cough is a clearing mechanism that our body uses to help clear out the respiratory tract. And most of the time, that is an important response to something. So just because you have a cough doesn't mean you need to treat it. And you actually, if you were to find something that works, and cough medicine is a whole different ball of wax, we don't actually always want to blunt that cough response, because we want to allow our children to be able to cough off that mucus
and to clear it out, right?
Yeah, yes. Because I brought up cough medicine, I think it's another worthy topic of discussion, because there's so many cold and cough medications out there. In general, under the age of six, cough medicines not recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Over the age of six, you can use cough medicine, but just by having cough medicine in the house, you have a risk of a kid who loves that grape flavor of the cough medicine getting into it and getting too much cough medicine. We also have to be thoughtful of what dose we're using.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. So if a kid did find the cough medicine, like, is it lethal?
It's generally not lethal. There are some cases of fatalities, but it is something that
you'd have to throw up.
Call poison control for guidance on, and take them to the local emergency room.
Sure.
So even though these medications are sold over the counter, we still have to be really mindful of how they're stored, who has access to them, and making it really clear to our children that these medications should not be taken without supervision of an adult.
Yes.
But cough medicine doesn't actually work. I know.
Side note, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. What does work better than cough medicine is honey.
Oh, cool.
And there's been a couple of studies that have shown that is actually, there's one study that gave kids honey before bedtime, and they had what was a cough index, looking at intensity of cough, frequency of cough, and it significantly reduced their cough index compared to other medications and compared to placebo. So you don't need to spend a whole lot of money on cough medicine for kids.
So
you can just
with
go,
a kid,
go to the pantry.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Yes, it's in the pantry, and it's, you know, and you get that good local honey. There's so many attributes to honey. It's amazing. But with children, and you're giving them honey, okay, how often can you give it to them?
So it depends on who you ask. Some people say a dose before bedtime does the trick. Other times, you know, if you're having a lot of daytime cough, it's certainly safe to give throughout the day. Probably 3 times during the day would be sufficient to have that effect for your child.
Dadgum it, y'all. I feel like literally, I feel like I've been in like this dark room and this doctor just came in with this light lantern. He's like, hey, why are you in the dark? Like my, this seriously, I feel so dumb because our oldest, she actually just gave the cold to Douglas, and now he is in bed right now because he has what Allie Mae had, and she still has it, and she has this cough, but I don't want to give her medicine. I will give her some honey, Dr. Jake.
Give her some honey.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so, and I love how natural it is. There's so many attributes. So I have a question for you. We're going to pivot. I had a question about, they have a little girl, and this is sharp right turn for you. Didn't tell you this, did I?
Unscripted.
Yeah, you're right. It's unscripted. And I also showed Douglas. So she has a kid and she's like 4. And her joints by her knees are hurting and inflamed. She has a fever, 101. And I know this is not, we're not going to prescribe anything. This is just, you know, Douglas had his own things that he thought. And the limping in both legs, gait turned inwards. Knees are very hot, slightly swollen, and very sensitive. The rest of her body is fine, and she can wiggle her toes. She's had a fever of 101, and then it came back down. So they went to the hospital and stuff. The test that came back good. I think, you know, this is just us throwing our cards in, what we think. I mean, I know that kids are real hard on their bodies, you know, and they jump, and especially my oldest, like she jumps and then she cries while her ankle hurts in the middle of the night. And, you know, you never can tell what you know, a kid might have done. So what are the warning signs that you would say, something's not right, you need to go to the hospital?
Great question. This is something that, you know, even as a doctor, when my daughter complains of something, I think to myself, what are the warning signs? In this case, one, pain out of proportion to either the mechanism of injury or what you would think a child would have a reason about a pain for. So if it's above that threshold, and parents know their kids best, that's one indication that it would go get checked out. The other is if it's not responding to conventional treatments such as ibuprofen, Aleve, or Tylenol, if you're having associated symptoms with it. So this kid who you mentioned is having fever, and I think you also said it's really tender.
And swollen
Was it?
knees.
It's swollen. That combined would want what I would want to, that person to see a healthcare provider. The fever, the tenderness, and the swelling combined. We're not going to diagnose this, but there are some conditions out there, whether they're rheumatologic or post-viral infection. You can have some inflammation of your joints.
Because
Have
the
something.
fever, to me, seems like it's something immune. Like there's something like with your lymph node, like there's something that your body's wanting to fight off.
Yeah, so either there's an infection, like a current virus, or the inflammatory markers in the body are elevated, or there's kind of something that's not diagnosed. Fever is a symptom,
Sure.
and we all like to treat fever because it makes our children feel better. But our body makes us have a fever for a reason.
Sure.
So the other thing is always that the fever has nothing to do with this, and the kid just happens to have a fever. Probably unlikely with this kind of all the different parts that you put together on this. I would think the fever is somewhat related.
Yeah, I told her as soon as she got it, or she sent it, I said, "Well, y'all go and do what you need to do, and I'm gonna talk to my husband and Dr. Jake, and I'll bring it up because and again, this is kind of like entertainment, y'all. This isn't like let's literally prescribe people stuff. This is for entertainment purposes." To learn and educate oneself, like from a stump jumper to you, and to have resources presented to us by so, like, the smartest people you'll ever meet. I know that I will. So I'm just indebted to you, Dr. Jake. Thank you so much for that was a sharp right turn. Thank you for listening to it.
Absolutely. I get curveballs that be thrown at me every day with my job and with my children. So.
Well, I know with Mardi Gras upon us, it is important, I would think, to get checked out before we hit the parades, and get our well visits in. And, with the knowledge that you presented to us, I know I'm about to go give my baby some honey.
Another thing I'll add is vaccinations. Make sure your
Absolutely.
kid's up to date on vaccinations. You'll be around a lot of people. We've had a really bad respiratory season. I haven't seen a respiratory season like this in years, where we have some kids actually getting really sick from common viruses. So we want to make sure we're still doing things like washing our hands. I know masking can sometimes be polarizing, but none of us were getting sick when we were all wearing masks. So if there's a place where the high risk for catching an infection, it's still very reasonable to wear a mask in that place.
Sure. And as much as we want to be back to normal, we have to, keep our vigilant attention to, getting us back to normal. And the only way to get back to normal is by, these baby steps and, masking when we need to and getting those vaccinations for our babies and for us. It's so important. And I can't thank you enough, Dr. Jake. Dr. Jake's take.
I love this. I can't wait. I can't wait for the next one.
I know. So that's going to be putting us up around festival season. Oh, can't wait. There's always
But
something.
we are gonna have a special for Heart Month, right?
Oh, yes, that's coming up. That is the Ochsner, the showcase. So you're
Yes.
coming back in like less than 2 weeks, y'all, and he's gonna be the showcase.
I hear you're double. I hear you're doubling my pay for that one.
I'll talk to my people and I'll get them to get to you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Dr. Jake Climahan. He is the pediatric cardiologist over at Ochsner Hospital for Children. I said it that time.
Nailed it.
And until next time, our family, to you, we send you Mardi Gras love and all the
Stay
things.
Stay safe, everyone. Be healthy.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we're relentless about keeping your family healthy. From routine checkups to vaccinations, we have your needs covered. Visit ochsner.org/forchildren to schedule your child's next visit.
Hey everyone, Brian Rosenberg here, founder of Days with Kids. I have exciting news for those hoping to become dads. Until now, determining your best path to fatherhood and then trying to wrap your head around all the moving parts could best be described as overwhelming, complicated, and sometimes downright baffling. But not anymore. In early February, we're launching GWK Academy, a specialized program created specifically for queer men looking to become dads. GWK Academy should be the very first stop on your journey to fatherhood. First, we'll help you determine your best path to fatherhood. Then, whether you choose surrogacy, adoption, or foster care, we'll give you the information, the resources, and the connections you need so you can launch your own journey feeling prepared, knowledgeable, and confident. So be on the lookout for our official launch announcement at gayswithkids.com and make sure you're following us on social media at gayswithkids.
Yo, baby, got diaper rash. You got eczema, chafing, or trapped dry skin? Everybody need Pink Salve. Pink Salve makes it all feel better. Pink Salve, PINXAV, is the cure all ointment that is a must-have for your whole family skin. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it will be the best rash decision you will ever make. And I know from experience because I have used their product for years on my babies, and it's awesome. And if you go to pinksav.com, PINXAV.com, and use Nola Papa, you get 10% off. 10% off right now. Gotta use Nola Papa. That's pinksav.com. PINXAV, y'all. Zach George's Dog Training Revolution is proud to support Nola Papa. Zach has tons of free videos to help you train and improve your relationship with your dog. Subscribe to his channel and tell him Nola Papa sent you. So, with you and living in Florida and stuff, like, do you have a family? Like,
my family moved to Central Florida when I was younger. So most of my family is here. My mom's here in Orlando. My dad's in Melbourne. I've got sisters. You know, I got family here.
Okay, cool. Are you married?
No, they never see me. My family never sees me. So
okay.
Just because I work so much. Actually, I have two moms. I have a gay parent. So I took the mommies to see Avatar last night. And Avatar is my mom's favorite movie. So it was the cutest thing ever. I took him to the IMAX 3D. And I had seen it before. So I'm like, you have to see it in the Port Orlando IMAX 3D. And they were both, when that credits rolled, they were just crying, going, I was in heaven. Like, they're the cutest. They're the cutest. So I do my best to make time, but it's hard. It's hard. So, which is also why I just stay single with two cats. It just makes my life easier.
You don't have many mouths to, answer to. You can just answer to your kitties.
I guess technically I have a great many mouths with the business, but on the personal.
Absolutely. And speaking of, we're just going to pop right into it. Usually I talk about, my own shtick and then welcome them. Y'all, do you know who we're talking to? I'll tell you. I'll tell you who we're talking to. This is Steve Lewis from Gideon's Bakehouse in Walt Disney World. Yeah, I said it. You heard it. And I am fangirling because I'll just say what I was going to say in the beginning. So for years, Steve, I have watched and got all of my knowledge from the Disney food blog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
DFB. And I work out and I watch my YouTube DFB. And years ago, because, you know, the Polite Pig, the Polite Pig is where you could get these big ass cookies, okay? And they would go, they would be run out by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? So, you know, I, and these, the girls that would do this channel would just go gaga over Gideon's cookies. And for years, you know, now Polite Pig, Steve, that's in Disney Springs?
It is.
Yeah, and that's where you first were, you, because you were, you're in the market, and yeah, that's like, that's the first.
That's the OG.
The OG, you said it. And then Polite Pig started selling these phenomenal cookies, and then it just exploded. Is that how it went?
Yeah, I mean, I was, the Polite Pig is owned by the Petrakis brothers. They're local. They opened up the Ravenous Pig in Central Florida, which is just a phenomenon, a local business. Like, it was really a part of what got the local business scene in Central Florida to just start rolling. And when they originally were offered that space at Disney Springs, they asked me if I would do the desserts. Gideon's had opened up, been really popular. And I said, no. I only had one employee, I think, at the time. I was struggling to not sell out in 15 minutes at the East End Market location. I was learning my way. So to add that kind of responsibility didn't make any sense at all. And I certainly wouldn't want to commit to something that I didn't think that I could give 100% to. So I politely declined. But a year into the East End Market opening, through a massive amount of just different circumstances, got me started to think, like, what do I do next? How do I take this to the next level? And we could do a podcast on just that reasoning in of itself, because there's so many layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you one of them, the visual of Gideon's is super important to me. It's not just about the cookies. I often say that there's a holy trinity to what creates the Gideon's experience. And it's the menu, the desserts that are super personal to me, the community, the team, you know, the way that we interact with our community, and the physical space. It's escapism. And what appealed to me about Disney is escapism is baked into the formula already. So what I wanted to do with the immersive experience of the space, I didn't think would work in a plaza with, you know, a nail salon and a Subway and, you know, a lot of the typical available retail at the time. So I set my sights towards Disney Springs, which is a comically dumb idea for a nobody like me. I'm a 286 square foot bakery in the East End Market. So I kind of went on this tactical path to try to get them to see me. And I did that by going back to the Polite Pig and offering up my chocolate chip cookie as a secret menu item. And because I'm so particular about my experience, I didn't want to put it in someone else's hands. So I delivered them myself, baked them, packaged them, only gave them a small amount every day because I could only really handle that because my own demand was through the roof at the East End Market location and continues to be to this day. But essentially what happened is the very first day that the cookies were there, the Disney food blog that you mentioned and that I adore.
You know them?
Of course, yeah.
They
took a picture of the Gideon's cookie on the very first day it was available. They took a picture of it in front of the Polite Pig sign and proclaimed it one of the best things to eat on Disney property. And the door opened like that. like the conversations started, and you know, it was years of back and forth, but finally got what I was envisioning.
That's incredible. And what's so neat, and if you haven't been to Gideon's, this is what's really cool. The attention to detail. And that's why I feel like that you are two peas in a pod with Disney and their company, because you have this unique vision that you want to accomplish. And from cobwebs to smoke to the beauty of your dessert cases, it all tells a story. And like, not even looking at the contents of the, like what's inside of the dessert case, you are transported into this kind of like gothic, dark, kind of like Steve set up in the back, you know. It's really, it's, I think, a testament to your vision. And what I love, and our show is unscripted, so I didn't want to read too much, but I did read a little bit so I didn't look too silly. But Gideon, and the story behind the look and the, I think it provides depth to what you're about to eat, you know? And I love the tribute that you do for this whole project. Can you tell a little bit about what I'm talking about?
Sure. I and exactly to your point, for me, there's so much more to food and the memories of food that you've enjoyed throughout your life than the food itself. It's usually about the people that you're with, the person that's serving you the food, the atmosphere, the city. You know, sure. I'm one of those people that loves to travel for food. And when I have a great experience at a place, I can't wait to go back to that city again and have that cannoli or have that meal that I enjoyed so much and recreate that experience. So in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm in the business of creating memories. And part of why Disney and I get along so well is because we talk that same language. I'm very authentic in what I do. Gideon's is very much an expression of who I am as a person. It's not a shtick. It's not a theme that I thought would, you know, sell cookies. It's an art gallery to me. So we do tell those stories. There's a lore to what we do that's there for people that want to dig deeper than just the cookie. If you want a cookie, great. We got you covered. But if you want to have great conversation while you're waiting in line, if you want to go inside and really take some time to look at all those details and uncover some of those stories and grab that trading card that's hidden in the bottom of the box and learn about one of the characters in the Gideon's universe, we've got you covered. And those are the things that keep me excited. And I wake up excited to start my day, because a lot of those conversations that we're having are what character represents next month's cookie, what special secret slice of cake do we want to do next month. I get to be creative in storytelling, but I also get to continue exploring my own culinary journey
and pushing.
Yeah, always. I'll ever forward. The cookies are very personal to me. It was, you know, I'm a music major. The baking was an accident. It's just a hobby of mine I started when I was a little kid. So, you know, the chocolate chip cookie was a 15-year journey for me before I solidified that recipe. We're now selling the banana bread chocolate chip cookie as a permanent flavor, which is the first time I've added a permanent flavor in 6 years.
Wow.
That cookie took me over 20 years to feel like it was what I envisioned it being. Wow. So there's a lot of attention to detail in the recipes. There's attention to detail in the physical space itself and the storytelling and lore behind it. There's attention to detail in the kind of people that I hire and that represent me. You know, I run the social media by myself, and I have a lot of
conversations. And who does that, y'all? Like, it's, that's how I met him. I got to tell this story. So
I
love Gideon's. Okay. Everybody, you know, that goes to Disney loves Gideon's. So we just went, my husband surprised us, and like, how do you surprise? Like, you go to Disney World. So, yeah. Anyway, he surprised us and we went to Gideon's and I got the peanut butter cookie. And the last time I went to Gideon's, like, I wept, and I didn't really weep, but like the peanut butter chips and like the way it all married in my mouth, it was just like a peanut butter convention. What? That was just so good. And this time, and anybody that anybody that knows me knows that, you know, I you know, I'm a squeaky wheel. And I had my peanut butter cookie, but I didn't know that I was having a different cookie, and I had the peanut butter crunch cookie. Am I saying it right, Steve?
It's peanut butter crunch. Yes.
That has the nut, right?
Correct.
Yes. And I said on our, on our way home in the car, cause we drove, we did not fly. I said, I'm going to message Gideon's right now, and I'm going to tell them that I had the peanut butter crunch cookie. And Douglas is like, okay, Eric. So I email or message on Instagram. At the time, I didn't know it was going to be Steve, but it is. And I was like, I had a peanut butter cookie, and it had nuts in it. And listen, he has 200,000 followers, and within 2 minutes, this man messages me back, and he's like, actually, that was on our menu, and he said it to the dang T when we had the peanut butter cookie along with the peanut butter fuel. What is it called?
Peanut butter cold brew?
Cold brew. Fuel. I said fuel.
It's fuel. It's not wrong.
And it was so, it goes back to attention to detail, but so many brands today, they don't have their fingers on the pulse. They don't, there is a, they miss out on the action because they hire others to do it for them. And I just have to say this, my buddy, you're my new friend, that is amazing as a business owner, as everything, like, cause that's a lot to deal with. People like me.
It's so important. Like I honestly, I couldn't, Gideon's is too personal. So I can't imagine someone else being my voice. It is it seems like there's not a day that goes by that someone isn't offering to run my social, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And I do it so much differently than other people do, kind of counterintuitively. I don't like to post a lot, because my promise to people on social media is that I'm only posting if I have something to tell you. I don't specialize in cookie memes. You know, I'm not trying to get your attention. There's enough people at Gideon's. I'm doing fine. So I'd rather just have more direct conversations about what's going on. If there's a new cookie of the month, if there's a, you know, new cake flavor, if something's sold out, I like to post, you know, when there's information to give you. And the average way of thinking with social media is just to spam, you know, anything to fight to get that attention. And I'm not trying to be some Instagram superstar. I just enjoy having conversations with my people like yourself. So when you message me, of course, I'm going to message you back. I will admit that I do sometimes get hundreds and hundreds of messages within a very short period of time, and stuff just starts to disappear. So sure. I always ask people, if I don't respond, just hit me up again. And I will get it. But yeah, I do my best. It, you know, it takes sometimes a few hours a day. I try to keep notifications on so I can catch them in the moment if I can. Cause just like texts in personal life, you can text me, and if I can't message in the moment in my brain, I'm like, I'm going to message back as soon as I'm done with this meeting, and then it's gone.
Right.
You know, I've got about a 45 second attention span. So I try to message back pretty quickly.
So with, okay, 15 years, chocolate chip cookie. 20 mm-hmm. years, banana chocolate chip cookie. Okay, so there had to be some seeds that were sown into your garden, okay? Mm-hmm. So I love your mom's. That is the sweetest story you opened with. So were your mother's instrumental in your bacon journey?
No, I love my family, but they're not great bakers. They can make a mean cheesecake.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, and I haven't actually done this at Gideon's, but the only dessert recipe I've ever done that wasn't my own is a family cheesecake recipe. My family's from a little town outside of Tuscany, and I believe it was one of my aunts brought that recipe over. And my family's really good at that cheesecake, but they're not great at everything else. So, and that
your
was very personal.
Voice is so good. God, I wish I had your voice.
So it was just very much me. Like my friends that I went to elementary school with remember me making like banana bread chocolate or banana bread muffins for them. Banana bread chocolate chip muffins was one of the first things that I tried to make when I was little. I don't even really remember. But I used to grab box mixes and add and experiment to them. And then as I got older, I started to do everything from scratch and, you know, never really started from any recipes. I just, like, I joke that the Gideon's cookies are different because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't follow any rules. Sometimes we'll get some very trained bakers come in, and the first thing that they want to do is change the recipes to be what they know to be right and true from school. And I just point out to them that if you do that, then what differentiates us from everybody else? You know, what I do is hard. You know, it takes over 24 hours to prepare the cookies. They're all scratch made. They're all handmade. You know, you can look at the cookie and tell that I'm not skimping on ingredients. Between the two Gideon's locations, I'm less than 1600 square feet of retail space, but there's 170 employees behind the scenes that meet that daily demand because everything is done from scratch.
Wow.
And doing that in Florida is difficult. We were just talking about today how just humidity in of itself can drastically change the way something bakes, the way it looks. You know,
absolutely,
it's wet to dry ingredient content. So it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And
which is why one of the most common questions I get is, when are you going to open up another Gideon's? Are you going to open one up here? Are you going to do one in Miami? Are you going to do one in California? I'm like, no.
I think I asked him, I was like, are you going to go in the cruise boats?
Oh yeah, you did. I'm like, hell no, no. Cause I have to be like, I don't wholesale my product. So, you know, I wouldn't license it for other people to do it. I don't franchise, you know, I don't
just
have
like you do your own social
investors.
Media. If you do your own social media, you're sure as hell not going to franchise a whole restaurant, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the only real difference between me doing this in my house and me doing it now is that 170 employees. But the way everything's done is the same. Same Instagram account, same recipes.
That's awesome. So when you were making your cookies back in the day, when did you get that cookbook or that
the name came from?
Yes.
So that spawned from a totally different thing. I love collecting old books. And I was at an estate sale and I bought a collection of Victorian era books, and the cookbook was just one of the many books that happened to be in that collection. And as I was flipping through them, there was this book that a little kid had written in because he wanted to be a baker. So he was making little notes and there were little doodles in the book. And the only name that was scribbled in it was Gideon at the back of the book. No last name, just Gideon. And the date the book was published was 1898. So when I started to really think about the idea of Gideon's being a real thing, like, it, you know, I was selling cookies out of my house just for funsies. But when I started to take it seriously, it was then that book kind of returned to the picture. And I remember when I was first thinking about it, the name Gideon's Bakehouse was just a placeholder until I thought of something cooler.
Oh, wow.
But it just felt really sentimental, and it felt like the right thing to do to take this kid's dream and make it a reality. So it just stuck. I had to keep it. Like, I couldn't replace it. It felt too sentimental once I really kind of started to hold it in my head.
How incredible. It was almost like you picked up that book and you connected with that, you know, and some kind of,
I love antiques and things because of that. Like, I think that I feel like there's such a story, you know, we all look at like these old daguerreotypes, these old photos of people from the past and wonder who were they, you know, how did they live? That's Gideon's Bakehouse. That's a part of what we are.
Wow. That's so inspiring because, I mean, just looking at the cartoon works that you have and how you're able to have personality and what you want that character to embody. Look, coming from South Mississippi, what I love is, and especially what I see and what's neat about Gideon's is it is a dark, themed kind of situation, but there are times when you offer pops of color, and whenever you do pride cakes or things that involve the rainbow, it is so stunning. And for someone, you know, that, you know, we weren't represented growing up, and it was, you know, kind of the opposite, and to see big time bakeries you know, standing firm and inclusion and offering up y'all some of the prettiest cakes I've ever seen. You did a rainbow one recently that was
we do it every Friday is our pride cake. Yeah, like I don't want to do pride 1 month out of the year. I want to have a little bit of it every week. So every Friday you'll see remind people on my stories that I'll post a picture of the cake, and the tagline to it is always the only reason to allow color in Gideon's Bakehouse. And it's
the yep.
Yeah. So it's legit the only color that's really in there. I'm not good with color.
You say that, but I mean, the cookie butter cake, it has color. Oh my God. Last time we were there, we had the peanut butter and jelly cake. And I let it sit out just for a little bit, not overnight, y'all, but just for a little bit. So it
yeah,
can,
you want it to soften. You want that because when we give it to you, it's stored
right out
in
the
fridge.
Box.
Yeah.
Right.
And you want that buttercream to really be softened. So there's even instructions on the back of the box now to remind you to let the buttercream soften before you eat it.
Oh, dang. I mean, because that is it's a huge, huge thing that people could. You know, you want to bite into it, but also eat half now and then like wait till you get back to your kitchen and eat the other half after it's sat out for a while. So I know that you just got back from vacation. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So when you go abroad, did you go abroad?
I did. I've been very bad about taking time off. We all are at Gideon's. My birthday's in January, so I always at least try to take the week of my birthday to disappear. And I just came back from Barcelona.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So when you go to places like that, because I know you have your own, you know, Steve Lewis machine in your head that doesn't stop, because I know your attention to detail, probably it's like always on. So when you are away, are you really away? Cause like,
I will still answer the social media if that's what
no,
you're
no,
asking.
No. Like, I mean, like, yeah. Do you find inspiration?
I still got you. And yeah. Like a lot of why I travel is for that inspiration, to see, usually not as much in like, I travel for food personally. I'm not trying to duplicate what other people are doing, but sometimes it creeps in. Like one of the things that I loved about Barcelona were the empanadas. And it kind of spiraled into my head of something that I wanted to do here that could utilize some of that technique. So it does pop up. But a lot of the times when I travel, it's more for the architecture and the inspiration of the art and design When I was preparing to do Gideon's at Disney Springs, I went on my first vacation in years to Paris to look at how their retail was and just kind of get these old school, like, you know, that's where you're going to find a lot of that kind of Gothic Victorian look around the corner. You know, it's everywhere. Yeah. Barcelona, it's everywhere. So those things were really inspiring to me. But it's always just a feeling that you capture. I try not to go, oh, I love that, I'm going to take a picture of it and duplicate that. It doesn't feel authentic if I pull it off that way. But I just, sometimes what you just need is an inspiration to be creative.
Yes.
And traveling abroad is not something I've done, you know, that often. I have the great benefit of lots of American Express points through, you know, my purchasing of chocolate chips. So I need to learn how to be better about taking time off, because it doesn't slow down the work as much as one would think, because I'm still always connected on social media. I have a hard time with it. I have a hard time going away. I miss my cats.
Of course. Your fur babies. Do you have, because, you know, you talking about empanadas, have you ever thought of savory, offering anything savory one day?
I think you will find that there's not much I haven't thought of, because as you said, my brain does not shut off. There's lots of threads that stem from Gideon's that potentially could find their way spin-offs. Into the world.
It could be spin-offs, like little, you know, derives from those little characters. You know, this character loves empanadas, you know. That is so neat. You know, when we tap into our own creativity and I think confidence too, because you have to be confident enough in your own talent to put it out there to be received. And then
that's a huge thing. Huge.
Yeah. I lack in confidence. I have an inferiority complex like none other. And
we all do, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I
suffered from severe imposter syndrome in the buildup to Gideon's at Disney Springs, because I I'm a nobody with a 286 square foot bakery about to jump onto the international stage. And it was a, you know, it's something you have to overcome, most certainly. And for me, everything that we do in life, you hope that you do it to bring joy and service to others, but also to advance your own journey and learn a little bit more about yourself every day. So it was scary. You know, that kind of stuff is scary, but you have to do scary things to step forward.
Oh, and you have so to, good.
And I certainly learned the value of failure. So once you start to lose that fear of failure and see it as an opportunity to grow and learn.
Of growth. You read my mind.
It starts to minimize a lot of that self-doubt, because, you know, you're not worried that you fail as much. And I work really hard to remove ego from not only myself, but from my business as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a lot of shame. If I embarrass myself or do something stupid, I just kind of make fun of myself and move on. So all those little things help to kind of remove a lot of the insecurities that, you know, that is the human condition. Some of us just hide it better than others.
Well, I mean, to know that you started this cookie and like the success, I just want to circle back. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really neat, and I've said about your attention to detail, your recipes, the storefront, but listen, and I'm talking to the audience too. So what is so powerful in you is you saw what you wanted in your heart to happen, and you thought of a way to make it happen on your own terms. And you reinvented the way to provide these cookies as a secret menu item. And that perked up all the ears and antennas and everything, and got the light, the spotlight on your dreams of being able to launch what you have in your heart. And for you to be grounded enough to know where you wanted your name to come from, because you felt gravitated to give that sweet boy a legacy that he didn't get to have himself. But then it goes even deeper. Like, it's so inspiring. And I want to make sure I tell you this, because for you to be on, you know, going like a ping pong ball, it's easy for you to get desensitized or to not realize it, but you are making magic, and it's because you embrace the fear and the other things that are attached to fear, and you were able to create your destiny. And to me, that's what we all should strive for, to not listen to the fears in our head that we're not good enough, that, you know, who are we, and to be our best authentic self, and everything else will fall into place.
I think what you just said is the key. Authenticity is the key. It could take a lifetime to learn authentically who you are, but I one of the things that I've been conscious of for most of my life is the attempt to be true to who I am and not a product of my environment, which is a very challenging discipline, because it's hard not to be influenced by everything that's around us all day long. So that's something that I try to hold in my head is are the words that I'm saying right now a true expression of how I feel, or the clothes that I wear an expression of who I am, is the car. I mean, everything we do is representative of who we are as a person. So I just try to be really hyper aware of what that means and allow my motivations as a human being to be that expression as authentically as possible, and not trivial things like financial success. You know, I would be in a different place if that was my motivation over creativity. You know, we would have an automated standardized product as opposed to something that's done. And, you know, it's an easier choice. It's an easier path. It's a more profitable path. It's a more financially enriching world. But what is that? You know, I'm looking for the emotionally and creatively enriching experience. And I think that's the more authentic human experience.
You can't get more authentic than that. I mean, I don't think so. When's your birthday, Steve Lewis?
It was, what is today?
January.
12 days ago.
Oh, happy birthday, big guy. So thank he you. Went on this trip, and I love that you're able to get away and kind of like rejuvenate. So what is that? Is that Aquarius? What is that?
A Capricorn.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I don't necessarily know what that means. I just know that I'm a Capricorn.
I could talk to you forever. I am just fangirling. I mean, to know that you took the time to talk to us, to me. I do want to say another thing, because you are...
I'll say as much as you want, my friend.
Okay. Well, all the goodness that you have in your heart and in your mind, and what you offer, those 180 employees are impacted, like, by that. And if you look at how, you know, we're all in this like trajectory of work, like the world spinning, and we all come into each other's lives at these different times and moments. And for those 180 people, they're lucky enough to be able to, and you're humble and you're like, oh yeah, but like they seriously are able to like launch their own like creative, like, and creative things that in their head and connect the dots, and you give them the ammunition and the drive and the spunk to do it. And like, how lucky.
I try. I mean, I can't take a lot of the credit for a lot of that. I have such an amazing team and a great leadership team, but in setting a tone from the top, that tone does surround, is really focused on things like emotional maturity, and just caring about one another, having empathy. You know, I still do all the interviews for anybody that works in a front, you know, guest facing position at Gideon's, and it's a 90-minute conversation often with me before you get hired, because I want to learn about who you are as a human being. You've been to Gideon, so you know that my team's job isn't to upsell you on what the daily item is outside. It's to learn who you are as a human being, to find out what Marvel movie you just saw, whether you watched The Last of Us on HBO last night, which was really, really good.
It is good. You're right.
Those are the kind of conversations that I want my team to have, because I want you to feel seen, because I appreciate that you care at all about what I'm doing. And my team has to reflect that. So I want them to come to work and be who they are and enjoy talking to other human beings and creating that sense of community, whether it's a local person or someone from another country. We're all really the same. So I like to have that feeling at Gideon's. It's a really, really, really important part. And I hope that through that kind of work environment, they get to learn a little bit more about who they are as human beings by meeting people from all over the world and being kind to them, you know, and that's what I try to foster at work. But yeah, I have people like my operations manager, Patrick, is like the biggest Boy Scout, you know. We're always asking the question of like, what's the right thing to do? And a lot of the responsibility that I feel that I have as the business owner is, how can I create opportunities for my team to grow? And to be honest with you, a lot of the things that we talked about earlier about those little threads of what could happen in the future that come from Gideon's, a lot of my motivations for those things even existing are to create opportunities for my team to be a bigger part of something moving forward.
And it's that, that's why he's so successful, everybody, because like just walking into Gideon's, that's success, like, because you look around, it's like, oh my gosh. But for him, what I'm hearing from you is, it's not it that doesn't stop. You're always thinking of the next thing that you're going to want to do, even though you have this beautiful, you know, thing that's happening now. There's always movement. And that's what I love. That keeps the relevance in today and keeps the longevity of a brand, is keeping it forward and moving and progressing. And I am in awe of you and the load that you carry every day, you know. And always remember, my friend, I'm Yoda, that your magic touches so many people. As easy as it is to get lost in the hustle and bustle, that your place is magical, Steve.
I will admit that I have no sense of that, really. That's probably one of my biggest challenges, is the presence required to see what's happening around me with the business. I'm too close to it. Mm-hmm. So people do ask me a lot, like, how do I feel about how things are going? And it still shocks me that people know who Gideon's Bakehouse is. Mm. And maybe that's for the better. You know, I don't want things to get into my head. I just want to enjoy the journey as best I can. Learn wonderful things about people along the way and hopefully be able to grow and express myself. So I just try not to focus on what everybody else thinks about it. Because as awesome as it is, the way that you put it, there's other sides of the coin too that break my heart when people are mean to me. And that's the another whole podcast about running social media. But for the most part,
I'm sorry for being one of those Karens that was like, my peanut butter cookie had nuts in it.
Trust me, if you think that was a Karen, you should read some of my messages every day.
My goodness.
But no, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just us trying to have fun and put our best out there. Like, one of the things that I preach a lot is that there is no such thing as the best. You know, I'm very resistant to awards and things that say we make the best cookies and the best this, that, and the other. There's no such thing with food. Food is art is subjective. So like, if you love crispy cookies, you're going to hate Gideon's Bakehouse, and that's fine. That's okay. That's part of your palate and your journey. But what the promise is for me to the community and people that want to come visit us is that every little thing that's on that menu is the best that we know how to do. There's so much thought and care that goes into everything. It's partly why I hate food reviews so much. Is what does that mean to someone else who has a completely different experience and palate?
Sure.
I don't understand why anyone listens to other people's opinions of what is a good cake or cookie or pizza or sandwich.
Is it relevant for you to even read?
I don't think I would.
If I was in your, I'm so sensitive, and my feelings get hurt so easily, you know?
Yeah. What I will see is I'll never do Yelp, and I people will send me links to their YouTube reviews and things. And I flat out tell them I'm not watching that. Like, we get like TikTokers that'll do like Gideon stuff, and it gets super viral, and a million people send it to me, and I'm like, I'm not watching that. But it's super positive. They loved it. Yeah, no, I don't care. I can't do it. It's just such a strange thing for me. But on Instagram, for example, people will just tag me in their post, and a lot of times it's just, this cookie is a 6.2, this cookie is an 8.5. Like, what the hell is that?
Like, really?
And I'll sometimes send them a sassy comment. I'm like, where did the 0.2 come from? what is this?
Like, everybody's a judge, especially online. It's like,
it's crazy. And I was talking to, here in Central Florida, there's a great pizza place, Pizza Bruno. I love him very much. He works really hard and puts out some great product. And I've often said that he is to garlic knots what Gideon's is to cookies in Central Florida.
What's like, it called again?
Otherworldly. Pizza Bruno.
Okay.
But, you know, we were talking about, like, he loves, he had a cookies and cream cookie today, which is my least favorite of the Gideon's cookie. But when he had it today, it just hit differently. And I tell people all the time, there is no such thing as a favorite cookie. It's all about your emotional state for the day. What do you emotionally need today? It's going to change. Let it change. Don't fall into these holes of, I like this, I don't like that. Of course, we all have our tastes, but there are just days where I love some cookies more than others because of my emotional state.
And awesome. I love how you change them out to where it can fit in. If there is a missing spot, then that could be, you know, the missing piece.
Yeah, I have fun with those monthly limited cookies. And you know, we've got our staples, but you can guarantee that every first of the month, things are rotating.
This is a pretty dummy question for me. With your chocolate chip cookie and all the different sizes, because last time I was looking at them, and they're different size chocolate chips. So how many different types of chocolate is in that one cookie?
That particular, the classic chocolate chip is just two.
Okay.
The triple chocolate chip actually has five different kinds.
Maybe it was the trip. Maybe that one was the one I was.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in that cookie. It's madness.
I love the salt content to it. Like, it just the perfect amount. So I want to ask, as we're wrapping up, this humble man, listen to this humble man. Look, okay. The International THEA Award for Retail Design, Themed Entertainment Association, Honorary WWE NXT Championship. What? WWE Entertainment.
Those are two things. Those are the two awards that I do love. I got one for an international award for the design of Gideon's Bakehouse. I had to go to California and go up on stage and get that award after Nintendo got their award, which was super surreal.
Oh, wow.
And I was given a WWE championship belt, an honorary championship belt. I had to go in the ring in front of a live studio audience. And the legend Shawn Michaels gave me a WWE belt.
What? Wow. How did they get wind of Gideon's? Like, it's just like the air, just the fragrance?
There's a headquarters here. Their training facility is here. So a lot of the wrestlers have just been big fans over the years. So they asked me to visit their facility to talk to me about potential collaboration with some charitable giving. But it was really a ruse. They wanted me to get in the ring and get the championship belt, which is you can't see it in my glass case back there, but it's here.
That is surreal.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up loving wrestling, so it was just like it's all been downhill from there. you can't top that.
Well, you say that, but I mean, I'm just looking at Best Cookies in Florida. I mean, it's like. It's acolyte after acolyte, and each one, I'm glad I said the first two, those are really cool. I hope that you take everything that you've done, because when did you open Gideon's in East Market?
October 2016.
16, wow. You're on a wave of creativity, authenticity, and love, and kindness, and empathy, and you're taking everybody that's along with you with on the ride. And it's a beautiful, Steve.
I try. I should also add in there, just to round things out, that I can also be a little sassy jerk if you say something mean on my social media. So I'm not all love and roses. I'm known for clapping back at people that say annoying things.
There's that thing on
I need
Super
to rise
Mario.
Above. I need to learn how to rise above. I'm working on it.
I'm still trying to do that. There's this cactus on Super Mario World that's yellow, and he kind of does this, and then you jump on his head and he turns red, and like he tries to get you. That's like how I am, and I really, it's just, that's who it is. When people hurt my feelings, Steve, it's just I can't get past it.
I'm a baby.
Thank
I mean, I, the secret ingredient in the Gideon's cookies, I've said a million times, are in fact my tears. But that's actually
that's
pretty
the
true.
Salt like content.
Yeah, it is. When I heard you earlier say that you were crying, I'm like, save those tears for me. But I legit love to listen to the Carpenters when I bake. There's such a melancholy to the Carpenters that's my. My happy place. And a lot of people talk about Gideon's as being all dark and gothic, and it is a dark space, but to me that there's a romance to that darkness. It's an embrace. It's not meant to be this ominous thing. It's a loving thing.
I love it. And speaking of love, Valentine's is on the brink. I bet you have your wheels just a turning.
Yeah, the Valentine's is one of my favorite cookies comes out. I don't do a lot of cookies every year that are guaranteed to be the same month, but in February I do an Eternal Flame cookie, which is a chocolate cherry ancho cinnamon cayenne cookie. It's layers and layers and layers of flavor that just speaks to me.
And
I
spices.
Love that little heat. Yeah, it's got that heat. Love it when you do love right. It's got that heat. Not a vanilla cookie. No vanilla cookies here. It's got all the punch.
All the spunk. I love
it. And like any relationship with all the heat, it doesn't last. It's gone in February.
It's a 7-year itch. So I can't wait for you to come back when you want to write your book and all the things. You are an inspiration, Steve Lewis from Gideon's Bakehouse. I could talk to you forever. You're my friend now.
We are friends indeed. You can reach out anytime you want, except if you want to bitch about peanuts not being in your peanut butter cookie.
I'll tell you, you bring that peanut butter cookie back, Steve. Oh, baby, it's good. Until next time.
Thank you so much for having me on. I it was just fun to talk to you, your sweetheart.
This is an honor. And from down here in New Orleans, we send you happy Mardi Gras. Come and throw some beads with us.
Yeah, my last New Orleans experience was not the best, so I'm gonna have to redo
it.
I came during the biggest heat wave on record. It was like 800% humidity, so it was like Florida times 1,000, and it literally shut my body down. It was unbelievably poor. So I need a do over.
Yes, and we could provide that for you. We'd have a good time, I promise. And you don't even have to say anything. Y'all, this has been Steve Lewis from Gideon's Bakehouse, Walt Disney World. Hello, East Market OG. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Nola love. Until next time. I love Kids Dream Dress Shop. From the cute little things you can wear on your head like a fascinator, or the gowns to make the little girls feel like they are the divas that walk the earth. I mean, those little glitzy New Year's, like, fashionista. I mean, they have it at Kids Dream Dress Shop. You check them out at kidsdreamus.com, and you'll be able to see it. They have all the sizes, the teeny to the big girl. I mean, plus sizes, they're known for their inclusive sizes. They are all over NBC, The Host, Vogue, Bride, Fox, ABC, CBS. Hello, kidsdreamus.com. Check them out. And not only, they good people too. They good people. Kidsdreamus.com. You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, PINXAV, Pink Salve, soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ+ women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksalve.com, PINXAV.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use Nola Papa. Get that keyword, Nola Papa. Pink Salve, y'all. Vacation planning has changed due to the pandemic. Traveling may look different now with restrictions constantly changing, but using a travel advisor has never changed. Sandpiper Vacation Services are free to you and offer concierge-style travel advisors that specialize in Disney, Universal, cruises, all-inclusive resorts, and many vacation destinations around the whole world. The agency is owned by a two-dad household, y'all. Visit them at sandpipervacations.com to learn more. That's sandpipervacations.com. It takes a village to make this show happen. It definitely couldn't happen without the generous pockets from our team of sponsors like Rouse's Markets, Zach George's Dog Training Revolution, Kids Dream Dress Shop, Pink Salve Diaper Rash Cream, Sandpiper Vacations, Sotheby's International Realty, Cafe at the Square, and Ochsner Hospital for Children. We sure love our friends and partners over at GazeWithKids.com, LoveWhatMatters.com, and the Audubon Institute. And you know, finally, I'm thanking you. Thank you for listening. There's so many podcasts out there, and you listen to us. So from my family to yours, till next time, NOLA love.